let's take it easy over here. By the way, and I'm looking at Dallas, and here's what I see. I see a team with one receiver.
Buccaneers fans, the home stretch is here, less than 2 weeks to kick off. This is the Ira Kaufman Podcast, starring the mighty sage of Tampa Bay sports, the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the King of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeCamper of JoeBucksFan is here, and all the fun is presented by Bill Curry Ford. Tampa's very first family of Ford is Bill Curry Ford, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. New and pre-owned vehicles, lifetime warranty, Sage. Fantastic. You can read all about it at BillCurryFord.com, BillCurryFord.com. And there are great incentives to purchasing a vehicle, leasing a vehicle right now till the end of the month. So get shopping immediately, BillCurryFord.com. You can find the little ad if you want to at JoeBucksFan.com. Click through there and order a brand new vehicle, a 2023. Sean Sullivan, the GM, is going to give you $500 just for doing that, and no deposit, and concierge assistance to walk you through it online. You don't have to go there, but if you do go there, Sean will help you in person, in the flesh, with anything you need, body work. He's your personal concierge if you're a Bucks fan. Sean Sullivan, Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford, Bill Curry Ford.
And Steve, you don't know this. I did the pop-in at Bill Curry Ford the other day after the Buck practiced, driving up Dale Mabry, just north of Hillsboro, you know, about 2:30, drove into the dealership. By the way, the showroom's looking better and better. Every time I go in there, they're adding things. It's sleek. It's modern. And then I popped in on Sean Sullivan. He was kind of in a business meeting, Steve, but I made my way in there anyway. You know, he introduced me. They were on a Zoom call. He introduced me to the people on the Zoom call, asked him if he was going to be in the fantasy draft. He said, of course. You'll get the best deals of your life at BillCurryFord.com. And you can talk a little Buccaneer football, college football. Sean's very knowledgeable. He's very passionate about it. It'll be a great experience for you.
Sage, we got plenty to hit on, but I'm celebrating, Ira. You know what I'm celebrating? I'm celebrating the fact that the defense, the Buccaneers defense, which is still half the team, last I checked, the defense got through this whole preseason, no real significant injuries whatsoever, tremendous health, and things aren't looking so good for the Bucs' upcoming opponents. The Saints just lost their left tackle, not cheering the guy's demise, but you know what? It happens. It happens to us. They just lost their starting left tackle. The Cowboys have a mess of injuries. I believe they lost their starting left tackle. They've got missing receivers everywhere. It's all shaping up for the Bucs, Ira. I'm in ecstasy. How are you?
Doing well. Hey, that's a fair point about the defense, Steve. And not only didn't they suffer injuries, but we saw Levante David Lee out there. He didn't play long, but boy, he looks 100%. He might look 110% because he wasn't his normal self. In the playoffs, and he looks quick to the ball. You know, Rondae Barber can't stop talking about Devin White and Logan Ryan and the rest of them. Defense looks fine, but I'll say it right now. You know, I caused a firestorm a couple of months ago. I'll say it again. The Bucs are going to make a move. The Bucs are going to make a move this week. It's obvious where they're going to make it. And if you read between the lines of what Todd Bowles said today, it's no longer a question of do they need help. It's a question of can they get the right kind of help, especially if Haynes' injury is worse than expected. They are going to pick up an offensive lineman, Lee. It's as simple as that.
The reports today, you know, the Bucs haven't said anything, of course, but reports specifically from Aaron Wilson of Pro Football Network, who's a guy I really respect, he claims that Haynes is still on schedule to start week one, and that Leverett's injury is not major, but it's manageable, which means it's something he's going to have to deal with for some time, but that doesn't knock him out of the lineup. So it doesn't sound like they're major, but you know what? I'm going to jump the gun here. I don't know if they're going to get an offensive lineman. I know there are people out there screaming for the Bucs to get an offensive lineman, only because they don't know anything about Haynesy, and they're more comfortable with someone playing that they heard of before, and they didn't hear of Haynesy. I'm going to say, even though I've written, I don't know how many times, the Bucks are deep at receiver, the Bucks are deep at receiver, Bowles all but said they're looking for a guy that can play gunner on punt team. And if that means that guy's a receiver, there's going to be a receiver that the Bucks, that fans and the Bucks probably thought was going to be on the roster, that's going to get X-made for a guy that can play gunner.
Steve, I think way too much is being made of this great battle for who's going to be the sixth wide receiver. Is that what we're really about on this podcast? Some guy who's going to catch nine balls for a buck 12 and one touchdown? I mean, let's take it easy over here. By the way, Steve, you were at the game, and correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't Jalen Darden last night, in a battle for his professional life, field two punts at his own 8-yard line? Why is he doing that, Steve? Why?
I don't know, Ira. Look, I boldly called for the Bucks to fire Keith Armstrong. They can do better. I'm sorry. It doesn't mean he can't coach, but he's not the best option to be a special teams coach in the league, and I think it's played out this summer. I also think if you really go crazy on the special teams, the Bucks said last year's draft was sort of about special teams. They came out and said that. It was a big focus of last year's draft. Special teams don't look so good. But as far as the gunner, I mean, the simple answer to that I would give is, you know what? You just drafted a punter in the fourth round, kick the damn ball out of bounds, and you don't need a gunner.
Thank you. I was going to say the same thing. Kick the friggin' ball out of bounds. You can't return a ball that's out of bounds. But, of course, that means you can't get a coveted turnover. And you know what? This gets under my craw. Not craw, craw. People have such a boner about turnovers, they're willing to sacrifice simple common sense fundamentals and the glory of turnovers. Just play football. Turnovers will come if you're playing football.
Steve, my buddy Rick Goslin, very well respected, and he's the guy that does the annual special teams evaluations that get sent to all the teams, and they gobble it up. And every year, you know, the Saints are top five, or at least they were till last year, and the Bucks are usually in the bottom third. Steve, I don't have any reason to think the Bucks aren't going to be 27 this year in special teams. It doesn't look good.
No, it doesn't look good. A couple of factors, Ira. You know, I didn't expect us to hit special teams early, but what the hell, you know? It's the Ira Kaufman podcast. We follow the sage. Ira, when you have an old roster like the Bucks do, and you have a lot of older players, you have a lot of guys who you're not going to put on special teams. So you need to sort of strike gold a little bit with make sure that those other players, you have a good, healthy percentage of them being successful on special teams, because you're not going to put your starters out there. And the Bucks just haven't hit on those players. Look, they've got Keyshawn Vaughn. The guy can run the football, but he can't play special teams. It was an issue last year. Rashad White, I haven't seen any evidence that the guy can play special teams. And usually your backup running backs, they're special teams players. The Bucks receivers, not the greatest special teams player. Tyler Johnson does some weird stuff out there sometimes. And the Bucks cornerbacks through the years, the crop that Jason Light drafted in 2019, these guys have been fantastically productive. Is fantastically a word, Ira? I don't even know. It's getting late.
It is getting late.
But
you may continue.
My point is, you look at Jamel Dean, Sean Murphy, Bunting, Mike Edwards. None of those guys turned out to really be special teams players. So it's sort of caught up to them now. And I think what Lee is getting at is, you know what? If they're looking for a number seven receiver, don't be shocked if some guy doesn't make it on the roster as a seventh receiver this year, and they go out and sign some guy who gets cut, who can cover like a wild man, years ago Russell Shepard did.
Changing subjects for a moment, Lee. You watched the broadcast like I did. I don't know how surprising this was, Lee, but I believe Rondé Barber declared Mike Edwards a starter, at least in week one. I wasn't sure that was going to happen. I'm not sure where that leaves Logan Ryan. I know Keanu Neal is hurt at the moment. I would be surprised if Neal doesn't make the team. So maybe they're counting Winfield as a slot guy, and Edwards and Ryan would technically be the safeties. Is that the way it works out, Lee?
Yeah, it's starting to smell like it, because you're hearing a lot of chatter about Winfield playing the slot. He's learning the slot. He was asked about that. when he was made available last week. Obviously, the Bucks do not have to release injury information until the regular season. And Logan Ryan apparently is dinged up. Who knows how severe or minor that is? You know, they don't have, the Bucks don't have to release that information. We know who Rondé talks to. It's very possible maybe Logan Ryan is dinged up enough that the Bucks are saying, "Eh, we need to limit his snaps on week one at Dallas."
If Winfield plays the slot, I don't think that's going to happen. But if he does, then you've basically completely benched either Jamel Dean or Sean Murphy Bunting. More likely Bunting because Dean doesn't play the slot. And I don't think that's going to happen at all. Plus, you know, to use Lee's favorite phrase, one of his favorite phrases, don't fix what's not broken. Don't start changing positions of your Pro Bowl safety. If you want to throw Winfield in the slot here and there to blitz and use his dynamic ability here and there, sure. But I don't think that's what's going to happen at all. You'd be crazy to take him out back there.
I'm not sure they're thinking on that either, Steve. As soon as they got Logan Ryan, Lee, I had him targeted as the nickelback. He's played it a lot. He's experienced. And, Lee, is this all an effort to put Winfield in position to get more picks? I mean,
yes.
I think that's what's behind it. But I think Logan Ryan is a natural in the slot, and that's where I would put him.
You know, all the practices I watched, Logan Ryan and Ed Winfield made the most plays in the backfield. Hardly a practice went by that one of those two guys wasn't making a play. And as far as Keanu Neal, I only remember him making one or two plays. He was pretty much invisible in my eyes. And if he flashed, I didn't see it.
I'm with you. By the way, Steve, now that we're talking about the secondary for a moment, let me throw this out. I don't think the Cowboys are an elite team. I know they won the division last year. I think they're overrated. I wouldn't be shocked if Philly wins that division. I know they got buried in the preseason finale, but who cares? And I'm looking at Dallas, and here's what I see. I see a team with one receiver. I mean, I don't know what's going on with Michael Gallup.
He's out. He's not going to play.
So here's my question, and I'll put it right to Todd Bowles this week. Todd, Carl Davis wants to cover C.D. Lamb. You're going to let, or you're going to play a soft zone, and wherever C.D. Lamb happens to line up, whatever guy on that side will handle C.D. Lamb. Steve, that's all Dak Prescott has. And what's wrong with shifting Carlton Davis over to cover this guy?
All right, well, we'll see what Coach Bowles says. I'm sure he'll give you the whole game plan, Ira.
I think the Bucs should win that game. I do.
Wow.
Yeah,
it's just me. I'm always scared, but I just think they've got some talent. They're not a pushover in my eyes.
Yeah, I agree with you, Ira. I think the Bucs are hands down better, and I'm going to tell you why, Ira. You know why? I've thought this through. This is what I've been doing in the shower and thinking about these things. Why is that so funny? I'm not sure. I know plenty of Bucks fans. All they think about football everywhere they are, right, Sage?
Well, I'm trying to picture you in the shower. Let's move on.
Yeah, let's move on quickly, Ira. Big Storm Beer, that's the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. Big Storm Beer, it's in stores. You're going to find the Bromosa, Wavemaker Amber Ale, but of course they have dozens of other beers. Florida's best craft beer is Big Storm Beer. The tap rooms have all the beers. Your Big Storm tap room, find it at bigstormbrewery.com. The Sage will be watching the Bucks with you September 18th, 1 o'clock kickoff at the Clearwater Tap Room just south of Ulmerton Road. Gorgeous outdoor covered seating, great sound, great viewing, but indoors as well. If you want to sit in the air conditioning, whatever it is, great food. BigStormBrewery.com, BigStormBrewery.com. Check it out. The Bromosa is their top seller, the Tangerine IPA. We throw a lot of cans of that around. Joe Bucks Fan World Headquarters, Ira, as you know, you're always stepping on them and complaining. But the Bromosa is where it's at, the Tangerine IPA, BigStormBrewery.com.
Steve, I picked you in the shower with a Bromosa.
Shower beers after mowing the lawn are a good thing.
There you go.
Shower beers. Ira has a shower pastrami sandwich. It gets a little soggy, but he takes
hey,
good.
By the way, Ira, Katz delivers now nationwide.
Whoa. I might take you up on that, Lee. I might take you up.
He didn't offer anything. He just told you. All right, listen, Ira, we were just saying as far as why I told telling you that the Bucks are going to beat Dallas, and it's a simple reason, Ira. I've thought this through. I've put my wallet to the test here. Right now, Julio Jones is healthy, and he looks great. Yep. And all indications are he's full go right now. That might not last a month, and that's the issue with him, but he's on right now. Mike Evans is healthy. I point blank asked Todd Bowles if he's 100% last night. He said he is. So the Bucs are going into this game with Dallas with two Hall of Fame receivers healthy and a Hall of Fame quarterback and a defense that's healthy and good talent around the team. I don't think Dallas can come anywhere close to matching that, and that's why I'm going with the Bucs.
Interesting, Steve. I don't think the Cowboys are as good as they were in 2021. And that was even before they lost, speaking of Hall of Fame, that left tackle probably going to end up in the Hall of Fame, Tyron Smith. You know, that certainly should help Joe Tryon Shoyinka, or if they want to move Shaq Barrett over to the right side to take advantage of whoever Dallas is plugging in. Now, Lee, I know they got a high draft pick, but the guy doesn't have any experience playing left tackle in the National Football League. Ezekiel Elliott, Lee, I don't think he's the same as he was 3 years ago.
No.
I don't. Prescott's good. Parsons is very good. And that cornerback that had 11 picks last year, he gets beat a lot. So a little double move by Julio Jones leaves that guy in the dust. And I can see Jerry Jones going home a very disappointed man.
Yeah, I foresee Dallas moving Parsons all over the place. Specifically, I think they're going to have him, they're going to use him on stunts to the inside to take advantage of the Bucs' beat up offensive line.
It's going to be a wild time, Ira, but look, what was wild, a little wild sage, is the antics of Tom Brady, and I'm going to hit you with a couple of things first that maybe most people aren't thinking of, but I need your wisdom on this, Ira, because you know, I've been doing a lot of thinking. Now, Tom Brady returned, okay, from his 11-day hiatus. Nobody really knows why. We know what Tom Brady wants us to believe. We've heard rumors out there. But nobody really knows. And if Brady wants us to believe something, probably the opposite is true. And we'll leave that at there. But Todd Bowles, Ira, he had almost the nerve, and I'm proud of him, but he had the audacity to sort of just look everybody in the face and say, hey, I only missed three practices if you really add it up. What's the big deal? What the hell? This is the same group of people who tell you that just Brady being around is it's uplifting. It changes the whole organization. It's this, it's that. And now it's, he would have had a bunch of days off anyway, three practices. I'll note, Ira, that Jason Light, the day Tom Brady left, he did an interview on WDAE radio. He said, Brady's only missing five practices or so. Big deal. So that the number's dropping. I don't know why they're discounting it. Like they are, it feels almost forced because you know Bowles would love to have the guy there. It's not the same without Tom Brady, as we saw last night in the opening drive. Here comes the hurry up. Here comes the Bucks moving the ball all over the place. Brady's 6 of 8, including a drop by Tyler Johnson and a penalty on top of that, and they're scoring.
I'm proud of you, Steve. I'm proud of you. You will not put up with any nonsense, and what Bowles said was nonsense, Lee. That's right, like reading something and taking every word literally instead of putting it in context. Lee, the bigger point about Brady is he's a presence. I'll go so far to say, you know, him flying to Nashville. He might have been able to talk to Kyle Trask about a couple of things and help the kid. He might talk to Rashad White about a couple of things and help the kid. Or if he's on the bench watching the game, he could talk to Trask when the Buck defense is on the field and tell Trask what he's doing right or wrong. Tom Brady is a presence, Lee. So to boil it down that he wasn't going to play in Nashville, so what's the big deal? I'm just not buying it. I think he's valuable. Every day that he's at that facility or on a trip with that team, He adds value to this franchise by his very presence, and I don't want to minimize it. Now, look, is it going to matter that much when the bullets start to fly in Dallas? Probably not. I'll say this, Lee, that 20-yard pass he threw to the right sideline to Jones, That ball had a lot of mustard on it, Lee. That has a lot of zip.
Oh, yeah. He's still got the arm.
Lee, half the guys in this league can't make that throw like Brady did. They can't do it. And he's 45. So I'll say that. But, Lee, to minimize Brady's presence, I think that's insulting our intelligence a little bit.
That's true. I have noticed at least once on his quote-unquote vet day, he wasn't even in the building. I still have a hunch his partial participation in training camp is really, in words of Steve Isbitz, the grand plan to get him out of retirement. And you know what? If that's what it takes to get the greatest of all time under center on game days, thank you, Bucks. Thank you, Bucks. Well, you say Ira is absolutely correct. He helps the team just by being there. He helps the team even more by being there on game days. And that is what's important. And I just, maybe it's just me, I find this really, really fascinating. And I, you know, I remember when I played high school football, man, they would drive you and beat you into the ground. It was like a boot camp, and it was Junction Boys light. And we've gone from Junction Boys, where you try to physically break dudes. You work them to death, or damn near death. Three practices a day, and you name it, out at some cabin out in the middle of nowhere where no one can get to you. To now, I want to go to the Bahamas for a few days. Okay, see ya. Now, people are starting to realize getting guys on the field, specifically in December, January, February, is more important and getting them on the practice field in August.
Hey, Steve, you made a passing reference to kind of don't believe everything Brady said, and he proved it again yesterday with a long answer, and then at the end kind of wrapped it up by saying, this is the only place I wanted to play. I don't know if he was talking about 2020 or 2022, but as far as the Dolphins' dalliance with Brady, that story is true. So what Brady said is not entirely true.
So the fans understand there was no expectation of Tom Brady coming out and talking to the media for the first time in like 22 days, 24 days last night. But he came out to the podium in Indianapolis. There was only about six reporters there. And he actually talked for about 6 minutes, which is long for after a game in that situation. But without being asked, Ira, nobody asked him about, to that point, about the Dolphins or the Raiders and all this other stuff that's happened since Brady disappeared and the NFL and their official ruling on the tampering of the Dolphins as fact. Brady comes out, he says, I read all these different stories about all these different places I was supposed to go or could have gone. I was only going to go to one place, which was here. I think this whole organization knows that. And then he goes on to say, this is the right place for me. And I'm very proud of the effort everyone's put in to make the relationship work. I thought that was an interesting way of putting it. Like, hey, everybody's bent over backwards for me because that's what it took.
Yeah. And Steve, he did a shout out to Joel Glazer.
Yes.
I wonder if Ed Glazer and Brian are a little pissed off.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, Ira. He comes out, he says, quote, I'm very proud of the effort everyone's put in to make the relationship work. Joel has been amazing. Jason is a great friend of mine. Bruce, Todd, etc. What is Joel Glazer doing for Tom Brady? That's I'm interested, Ira. What is ownership doing for the guy who has everything? What have they done for him? I thought that was fascinating.
Lee, I'm going to assume that, and it's not a stretch, certainly, to think that Brady's request for 10 or 11 days off in the middle of camp, and you got to run it past ownership. That's not a stretch. That's not a decision. That's not an agreement that Tom Bowles is going to sign off on by himself or Jason Light. It's got to run past ownership. So maybe Joel was the guy that said, give Brady what the hell he wants. Make sure he's back by August 25th, and let's move on. So that's the way I'm thinking.
Wow. Now, Brady has given Joel Glazer a shout-out before. A couple of years ago when they had their own little the ring ceremony, you know, where they wouldn't let you in, Ira. You're still hacked off about that. They stiff-armed you from showing up at the ceremony. And Brady went up to speak, and Brady gave a shout-out to Joel Glazer. If I remember correctly, Brady said, Joel, I'll never forget what you told me. You just told me, I just want to win.
Hey, Ira, do you think it's maybe the other way around where Tom Brady, because you phrased it in a different direction. Do you think maybe Tom Brady went to Joel and said, Joel, I'd like to come back, but I want you to be the one to go to Todd and Jason and say, Tom is willing to come back, but he needs 2 weeks off during the August, or just he needs freedom to come and go as he pleases in August. Maybe Joel was the guy who was approached first.
That might even make more sense, because once he's got the approval from Joel Glazer, then that's it.
What are they going to say? Yeah,
what are they going to say?
Ira, Florida's Elite Restoration, floridaselite-restoration.com. That's where you go when you have a disaster in your home or your business. Storm damage, flood, mold, whatever it is going on in your home, fire, call them immediately. Florida's Elite Restoration 24/7. They'll come out, give you a free assessment. And when they're giving you an assessment, tell them Ira Kaufman, Joe Bucks fan, sent me. Tell them that on the phone. And they're going to give you $500 off if you go ahead and use their services after the free assessment. That's how simple it is. Maybe that's money you use for your deductible. If it's going the insurance route, and owner Josh Martin knows exactly how to work the insurance companies to get you what you need and deserve. He worked 14 years as an adjuster. He knows the game. Very few restoration teams can say that. Florida's Elite Restoration. Don't hesitate. Call them. Free assessment. They're going to come out, use their technology, figure out what needs to be done in your home, and help you get it done and move forward with it. Floridaselite-restoration.com. Hey, Ira, are you concerned at all? I bring this up only because it's not something that's happened before. You know, Brady won series in the preseason, first team offense together in the preseason, a lot of new parts on that first team offense. And the defense, you know, 2 3-and-outs is what they got. I talked to Levante David in the locker room, Ira. I was the only one in the media corps. I caught up to him in the back there, kind of went where I wasn't supposed to. And we talked about his speed and what he thought of the defense and not getting a lot of work. But do you think since they usually play more, first-team defense only getting 2 series out there, quick 3-and-outs, is that enough for a defense that, you know, doesn't get to hit anybody? Is that enough, you think, for guys who are used to playing more in the preseason under Bruce Arians in the past?
Steve, it seems to be the way of the world. Like Lee was talking about the Junction Boys, and now you got the exact opposite. Lee, you look around the league, nobody's playing anybody. They're just not. They're not playing anybody. You know, the defenses aren't out there. The quarterbacks aren't out there. To the point, I think they got to cut it back to 2 preseason games. This is a joke. It's not fair to the fans to ask them to pay for extra money and not see anybody. Lee, nobody's playing anybody. It's not a Todd Bowles issue in terms of the defensive snaps. Nobody's playing anybody. They're scared stiff of getting hurt. And that's just the way it is. Things have changed markedly from even 10 years ago. That is the trend, Lee. I don't see it changing, Lee. And I think they should go to 2 preseason games, and they'll probably go to 18 regular season. I think that's the plan. Will it happen next year? Probably not. But it's going to happen, Lee. It's going to happen.
Yeah, I agree with you. And Mike Florio, our friend at Pro Football Talk, he's been saying 20 games for years. They eventually go to 20. And the way the TV money is, it's hard to envision if they add another game of inventory to the networks that they're not going to be compensated, where they're not going to feel any kind of a pinch by losing ticket sales and beer sales and concessions and parking for one less nonsense game.
Man, that's a lot of games, Steve, 20 games. The season would extend into March, maybe. That's a lot of games, Steve. I think they'd have to bump up the rosters, definitely, if they did that.
Well, it'll take
not just that, Ira, I agree with you. Not just that, but I think they would have 2 bye weeks, which would extend the playoffs into more so into sweeps weeks. Hello, TV money. That's a big deal. But you know what? People cry about, oh, my gosh, they're playing so many games. The original USFL did that. Never read or heard anybody say, oh, my God, USFL's playing too many games. Oh, the humanity. I never heard that. But now all of a sudden it's a horror show, you know?
Well, Sage, the next step is 18 games and two bye weeks. And another next step that isn't talked about much, but I heard Mark Domenech talking about it on Sirius XM NFL radio, as well as another executive. The union is going to, they expect to start to crack down on the joint practices because they're going to say, how does that help the players? It's not regulated. You know, if a guy's getting in two joint practices, he's getting 75 snaps, and then he's got to practice 2 days later. Well, you know, that you're overworking him. And, and it's basically a game setup, which is why coaches like it. And it's not supposed to be a game. And so eventually that may be cracked down upon. I don't know. And then, of course, there's the option of if you end up with two bye weeks, coaches might feel differently about pushing guys harder in training camp. So, you know, and then you have the issue of developing young players. So I don't know, Ira, but that's for smarter people than us.
And that's each move has ramifications. Lee, one more quick thing about the offensive line and the uncertainty and three new starters in the interior. I've been thinking about this, Lee. Imagine if you didn't have somebody like Brady under center during this transitional period. I mean, the fact that it's Brady, he's seen every defense. He gets the ball out about as quick as anybody maybe that's ever played the position. If it was anybody but Brady or a Rodgers, maybe. I mean, suppose it's Justin Fields or somebody. And you got him behind three new interior offensive linemen. That's a real problem, Lee, especially for a team that has a very rugged September schedule, like the Bucs, until they can develop some chemistry. So, Lee, the fact that they have Brady, for the people that say, Ira, you're making too much out of this thing with the O-line, Lee, they have a point in that Brady, in a way, can cure a lot of ills up there. If this was Gabbert or Trask, I think we're looking at a total disaster.
Oh, my gosh, yes. And you know what? I've been listening to NFL radio. I always listen to NFL radio. And the other day I was listening to Charlie Weiss. Charlie Weiss was saying, he was talking specifically about the Bucs. He said, no, that's not good, but he goes, Byron Leftwich is going to have to earn his money. He goes, this always happens. Injuries happen. He goes, there are things you could do offensively to adjust so that, you know, this lack of experience on the interior can be nullified or close to nullified. And he was talking about more play action, more short passes, more running. And then I heard Todd Bowles say something last night that really caught my ear. He said the reason why they went up tempo early in the game, that tends to wear out pass rushers. Pass rushers don't get to pin their ears back as much when you go up tempo. And I thought to myself, I took the logical next step, like, okay, if that's the case, well, maybe that will nullify any kind of pass rush up the middle against Getke, against Hainsey, with Brady back there.
Steve, I think one of the most interesting aspects of the early season is these defensive coordinators who on, you know, first glance are salivating about a rookie left guard. We're not sure who the heck the center's going to be, but the guy's not going to have a lot of experience. And Shaq Mason has never taken a snap as a Buccaneer. So, you know, first blush, it's like Brady doesn't like inside pressure. We got to blitz this guy. Send six. And, Steve, traditionally, that does not work against Tom Brady. Now, maybe he's had more experienced interior linemen than he's going to have this year. But, Steve, the fact is, he knows who's coming, generally speaking, when they're coming, and his mind works like a Jedi master, Steve. He gets that ball out. So it's going to be interesting because, Steve, if they blitz and they don't get there, then Julio Jones is the type of guy who can take that 7-yard slant and go 50. He's done it many, many times. So I think that's what I'm going to be watching early in the year.
Yeah, I mean, they'll certainly be ready for it. I'm sure the preparation will be incredible. You know, of course, Parsons can blow up a game. And so, you know, that becomes an issue. But with Dallas, but they'll be prepared. I'm going to go to one thing that Byron Leftwich said, Ira. We'll talk about this in the next podcast. Byron Leftwich opened up, Sage. I don't know if you watched the video, but he sat down for the Pivot podcast, 45 minutes of a candid conversation at $1 with Byron Leftwich. Very interesting on many levels. One thing that he brought up in there was that when Tom Brady got there, one of the first things he said to Leftwich was, "You got guys running wild all open and wild all over the field. You just tell me who to hit, and we'll just lay it out together. You got guys running open everywhere." So I don't think that's changed. And at this point, Brady's got incredible mastery of the offense, which is an understatement. And it's just a question of, are they going to have stupid drops and, you know, how much he can avoid getting hit. But there's going to be some new blood in here, Ira. And I got to just say, maybe it's just me and maybe I'm misguided, but Shaq Mason, I just don't see him almost as a new player, you know, because he's played with Brady, because he's played over 100 games. He's got like a dozen playoff games under his belt. Happy birthday, Shaq Mason. He turns 29 years old today. He's in his prime. He's got durability. And, you know, I just don't think he'd be here if Tom Brady didn't think he was a plug and play, no problem. Don't have to worry about Shaq. So I don't know. But the center and left guard, we can't pretend that it's going to be better. It's going to be a step back. They just have to be ready.
I agree with you about Shaq Mason, ultimately. I don't know how Light pulled that deal off. You know, Belichick does that sometimes. You know, he doesn't want to pay a veteran Lee sometimes, and he peddles the guy for a lot less than you think he could get for him. I mean, that's highway robbery. Now, Lee, we're not going to go through this whole podcast and talking about the ups and downs of the 2022 Bucks summer. And not mention, and Lee, I know what you're going to say. I know you're going to throw a couple of names out there. And I'm not, Lee, it's not going to work. It's not going to work on me, DeKemper. Don't even try it. They don't have Rob Gronkowski. Have him. And to think he's going to miraculously appear on October 12th, I think, is nonsense. And I don't care if you're talking about the red zone. I don't care if you're talking about the run game. And I don't care if you're talking about pass protection. They don't have anybody that should be mentioned in the same sentence as this guy. You talked about Keanu Neal having a very nondescript camp. I think I say that about Kyle Rudolph. I saw Otten. He made a catch. He dropped the ball. I don't know if he can block. Lee?
Oh, yeah.
Let's not get around this. Gronkowski is a major setback.
No one has Rob Gronkowski like tight end. He was one of a kind. And Bowles has talked about this before. And, you know, he said, we can't replace Rob Gronkowski, but we can find guys to catch passes that he caught passes. You know, like I'll give you a perfect example. He was really good at catching a seam pass. I saw Julio Jones doing the same thing in practice. They can't replace Gronk, but they can get guys in to replace his receptions. That's one reason they brought Julio Jones in. They think they can replace some of his, not all of his, but some of his receptions. That's why they brought Cade Otton in. Otton might be able to catch some of his receptions. Not all, but some. And by the way, I'll say this on your podcast. Cade Otton will be the Buccaneers' starting tight end no later than next year.
I can understand that, but you can't argue with my point.
No. Brady. There's no argument. That's obvious. You know, Rob Gronkowski is head and shoulders better than any tight end in the game. There might be some that are better receivers.
Steve, in terms of making up for Gronkowski's catches with Russell Gage and Julio Jones, Steve, you're still putting a tight end out there. Lee, there's going to be a tight end out there, and whoever it is, Otten, Rudolph, Keith, I don't care who it is, you might try Vita Vea out there on occasion.
And I got to ask you this, Ira. I am not knocking Kyle Rudolph at all in this question. I'm setting you up with this question. Maybe I overvalued him. Maybe I was thinking of another Gronkowski, although there is none. I don't know what I was expecting with Kyle Rudolph. And I'm not saying he was practicing bad. Not saying that at all. Overall, Kyle Rudolph, to me, is just nothing special. Not bad, you know. I don't think he's anything better than Bray. I don't know if he's that much better than Otten. And so what I'm saying is, Jason Light, last night on the broadcast, it sure sounded like Coe Keith is on the roster, the way he talked up Coe Keith. So Will the Bucs keep four tight ends? And is Kyle Rudolph secure?
I don't think he's secure, Steve. He was a good player 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Just like a lot of guys, Steve, but that was 5 years ago.
Oh, I think he's secure from the contract to – look, he was signed to help them win in January, not necessarily all season long. And the Bucs have always kept four tight ends. I mean, they've been doing that for forever. So I don't see why they would dump Rudolph. Cameron Brate has been injury prone. He hasn't missed a lot of games, but he's had all kinds of issues over the last handful of years. So I don't think he can be relied on to get through a 17-game season as the number one tight end. And, you know, I don't know if Tom Brady has any confidence throwing to Coach Kieft. And you've got Cade Otton, you know, a nice emerging player. But, you know, he's not going to be talked about this year as a potential superstar. So, I mean, they'd be crazy to let him go. They got plenty of other players they can let go than that guy. That's just where I see it.
Guys, we talked about that first month. I know Isbit said 3-1 is the bare minimum, Lee.
Bare minimum.
Bare
minimum.
Bare minimum. Steve, do you still feel that way?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a comparison game. It's not about the Bucks on an island. It's who they're playing and what those teams are enduring as well. I think they get Dallas at the best possible time. I think they get the Saints at the best possible time. You know, as far as the Packers and the Chiefs, I think they split those games and away we go.
Not a bad way to look at it. 2-2 would be disappointing, but not devastatingly disappointing. I'm with Steve. 3-1. I'm looking 3-1.
Yeah, maybe it's just me being the boogeyman, but I stated before and I'll state it again. I'm okay if they're 2-2. I think that much of all those opponents. I'm not dismissing Dallas at all. Dallas scares me. Kansas City's tough. Packers, yeah, you got Aaron Rodgers. And the Saints scare me. I'm telling you, Chris Olave is going to be a problem for this team, for the Bucs, for years. That guy is a freaking stud. I said it when he was at Ohio State. I'm saying it now, and I'll say it in the future. So all four of those teams scare the hell out of me. If you're playing four teams that scare me, if you come out even 500, 2-2, I'm okay with that.
He is smooth, Lee. He is smooth. By the way, guys, I talked to Akeem Hicks the other day off the field after practice. Well, he can't wait to get going. He just can't wait. He's healthy, which is number one. When he's healthy, he's a force. Lee, I'm not going to dump on the Ndamukong Suh, and neither are you, Lee.
No.
We're united in that. But this guy, I think, is a little more dynamic of a pass rusher. He's going to cause some problems, Steve, if he stays healthy and motivated. And, Steve, after all those quarterbacks he had in the Windy City, he's so excited about playing with Tom Brady. And I think it's going to show, Steve.
Just got to see him stay healthy. And as far as the Saints, you know, it just comes back to timing for me. Jameis not fully healthy, and he wasn't blitzed if you watch that game the other night. And then Todd Bowles, you know, is going to come after him. And he's not moving that well, in my opinion, if you watch him. Well, we know Jameis very well. And I just think, you know, they catch him at a good time before he gets fully healthy with that leg. I don't know. I just like the timing of it all, Ira. I do want to say this, just going back to Gronk before we get out of here. You know, Gronk in 2020 got off to a slow start. You know, I think he only caught 45 balls that season. And he was joking early in the year, I'm just a blocking tight end. He had games with one catch, zero catches. So it wasn't like Brady was relying on him, and they got out to a 6-2 record. And I think they can do that again without him, with better master of the offense and other things like that. And the running game wasn't going too crazy early either. But, you know, I just think they have more balance now when you include Brady's knowledge of the offense and his ability to manipulate every ounce he can get out of it.
That's true, Steve. But down the stretch, when they closed with 8 straight wins, Steve, Gronkowski was a big part of that.
Oh, yeah. Hey, 1 month at a time, Sage. And that's how it goes at Bill Curry Ford, BillCurryFord.com. August, don't miss out on these great August offers for leases. They're right there at BillCurryFord.com. Get a lease, but also order your new vehicle. If you want to get your deposit in, won't cost you a thing because there is no deposit. How about that, Ira? And Sean Sullivan's going to give you $500 just to order your vehicle. BillCurryFord.com, concierge service, nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles. Sage, very excited here. We're going to have a quick and dirty podcast next talking about who makes the roster, because the 30th is the big day. And a lot of fans are focused on these receivers and these decisions, Ira. We can get what the Sage thinks, because we need to know.